Let's go first this hour to the book review, The Glass House by Brooke Dunnell, our reviewer this morning, Elizabeth Easter. Kia ora, how are you?
Kia ora, very well, thank you. Good morning, Susie.
Now, this one sounds like an interesting book.
Well, interesting's an interesting word, but so the plot. We start with 30-something Julia. She lives in Melbourne with Rowan, her physio husband, and they share care of Evie, his teenage daughter, with Rowan's former wife. And Rowan's former wife is this woman called Samara, who's like super stylish and amazing and gorgeous, and she should be intimidating. Yet for some sort of slightly implausible reason, she and Julia share an oddly close, yet not close relationship. One minute they're having best friend talks, and another Julia is saying she doesn't feel completely at ease with her. So not quite sure what's going on there. Julia is the manager of her husband's physio clinic. And the story starts when our Julia goes to Perth from Melbourne, quite a way, for an unspecified length of time to help her elderly dad, Don, move from the family home into a smaller place, some sort of rest home, villagey place. You know how adult children have to do that. So she goes away, and for some reason, also not yet made clear to the reader, she and her husband, Julia, decide not to communicate while she's away. There's been some little separate room action in an airbed. So something's happened between them, still bubbling away, yet it's only very subtly hinted at. And I don't really get why Julia has asked for radio silence while she's away, because it just doesn't feel like there's been a thing, you know? So she gets to Perth, and like any person returning to their childhood home, things feel sort of strange and disconnected, same but different, bigger, smaller. And eventually, Julia gets to her curmudgeon, the old dad's place. Mum's been dead for a while. And she finds Don, her dad, has cancelled the cleaner. The grocery deliveries haven't been coming, and he's not managing at all. He's practically 90, I think he's like 94. Although mysteriously, I don't know how he's done this, he's managed to get all new furniture and linen for the guest room. And somehow, he's obtained a small dog called Biscuit, who might well be my favourite character. So far, so interesting for you?
Well, I mean, so far, it sounds like it could be.
Yeah,
there's kind of hints of things that sound like, where are these going to go?
Exactly, the threads, the long, slow-burning fuses. Anyway, long story short, Julia bumps into an old-school friend called Davina at the supermarket, who was once her best friend, and we get quite a lot of backstory about their meeting at a mainly music situation, and Davina was a sort of wonderful small child. And Davina is now plain old weird, and Julia is coerced into some one-on-one social engagements that feels super weird. So this to me had big red flag, but Julia does not heed the big red flag and avoid Davina. And it's like she's walking into some kind of spider's trap. Anyway, Julia keeps walking into the spider's trap. So the book largely revolves around getting Dad into a safe home, packing the house down, going through all her childhood memories and things, communicating with her brother who runs a bar in Sydney and can't be there, while also unpacking the business of her past, her parents' relationship, her childhood friendships. Now, I don't know. Can you sense some ambivalence from me yet?
Yeah, you don't seem keen.
No, I know. It's like, this is a really complicated thing. So regarding my enthusiasm, it just didn't all add up. Now, the plot was aiming for mystery, but the secrets, in my little inverted commas, they were signposted so massively. But when you finally found out what they were, they weren't worthy of this being burned with such a long, long fuse. And it gave the book, rather than a sense of suspense, for me, it made for a lack of momentum. And in between each chapter, this was actually quite annoying, was a recurring dream that Julia was having about her stepdaughter being in danger with a strange man by the river in Melbourne, which I just, dreams, not for me. But I did like the dog. Anyway, the writing is dandy. She's completely a very good writer. The world is solid. It's well painted. There were a couple of turns of phrase that positively pleased me. But the characters left me a bit cool. The plot, the main theme of adult child moving aging parents from family home into something more care home, reflecting back on childhood with the counterpoint of what was happening in her Melbourne life. And then when we found out what the Rowan-Julia marriage crisis was, why they'd chosen not to talk for weeks and weeks while she's away, it was just such a non-thing. It was hard to know why the amnesty on communication. I mean, that'd be much better to talk about it. Anyway, towards the very end, we do get the answers we want. So at least you get the answers. The mysteries are solved. And finally, there was some action and some welcome revelations. But it was just a little late for me by then. And then the denouement was really satisfying and sweet and warm. And I was like, oh, now I like it. But I've spent like 360 pages going, hurry up. So that was me. 6.8. A solid 6.8.
A solid 6.8. You recommend at a 6.8 level?
I mean, totally. Look, if it ended up on a B&B bookshelf, you know, give it a read. But I wouldn't, you know, there are so many books out there.
And this isn't one of them?
Damning with faint praise, isn't it? Sorry.
Yeah,
I mean, she's done a PhD in creative writing. She's a good writer. I'd totally see what she writes next. I just found the people relatively annoying.
Okay. A solid 6.8. Thank you very much. From Elizabeth Easter there. That is The Glass House that she was reviewing by Brooke Donnell. Fremantle Press at $37.